Tim, throughout this presidential campaign, faith and religion, aside from the conflict in the Mideast, hasn't really played a big role. But in the last couple of weeks, we've had Kamala Harris telling a protester who shouted, "Jesus is Lord," that he was at the wrong rally. We've had her not going to the L. Smith dinner. What impact do you think these really anti-Christian views are having on this campaign?
The "Jesus is Lord" kind of snafu by Kamala harkens, I think, a lot of us back to Hillary Clinton's seemingly quick or sudden flip of the tongue when she referred, you know, in kind of a closed door setting to Christians or evangelicals being irredeemable and a basket of deplorables. It seems like that was just kind of one quick phrase or kind of turn of hand. Honestly, things like that, a lot of voters, period, especially a lot of religious voters, feel like that's it's kind of a peak, a moment of clarity or honesty. And I think that that actually ends up becoming pretty viral and really kind of saturates a lot of the market. So clearly her positions, her policy positions, are not terribly biblical, we'll just say, in nature. But then whenever she actually starts making comments like, "Hey, you Christian, you're in the wrong place," and the rest of the crowd erupts in ovation, I think a lot of people paid attention to that and really do remember it.
This seems to be an ongoing theme. Do you also recall former President Obama claiming that we're based here in Pennsylvania, claiming that those of us in Pennsylvania cling to guns and religion? Seems to be a strain of, if not anti-religion, trying to push religion off to the side among Democrat candidates. Is this part of their effort to really replace religion with the state as being the primary focus of life?
Certainly that's been the approach of communist and socialist regimes for the last 100 years, 80 to 100 years, is precisely that, like explicitly. You know, that's actually part of the communist manifesto. But ironically, we've seen more and more of that play out, both in rhetoric and in policy and in governance, from the political left. That's probably not been the case, really. You know, going back to the 70s and even 80s and 90s, they were not quite as hostile. The policies probably diverted from biblical teaching, but at least the party wasn't hostile. But like the DNC in 2008, the convention where they removed any mention of Jerusalem and of God from the party platform pretty memorably or historically. And then you just alluded to Obama's kind of rhetoric and, you know, certainly carrying forward in really the last three other candidates in Clinton, Biden, and now Kamala. It's pushing farther and farther and farther away and ostracizing people of faith more and more and more.
Yeah, at one point, we can all recall former President Jimmy Carter, certainly a man of faith. He's a Sunday school teacher and continued to very late in his life to be a Sunday school teacher. Democrats were also embracing a faith. John F. Kennedy, of course, was the first Catholic to be elected president. Now we see that Kamala Harris doesn't even attend the L. Smith dinner. Isn't that function really supposed to be a nonpartisan event here, Tim, where candidates get together, sort of make fun of themselves, and we try to maybe lighten up the conversation a little bit?
That's definitely the case. I think a lot of the viewers and listeners of yours know that it's formatted basically as a roast of one another. And you're right, it can be lighthearted. And the money that gets raised there is it's certainly kind of a Catholic fixture. But the kinds of things that the money goes towards are pretty widely accepted and agreed upon, you know, education, kind of some charitable work, things of that nature. And so really to not show up there, it really strains a lot of people's curiosity. It's like, why would you be so wanting to distance yourself that aggressively from anything that's even remotely associated with faith-based programming? And frankly, I know some people that were in the room that actually said that even a lot of Democrats from New York City and the metro area there were super, super turned off and very offended by that. And ironically, Trump performed pretty well just that night. Like in living color, he was approachable and just kind of affable through the process.
Former President Trump has, on the campaign trail, Tim, expressed some concern about voter turnout among Christians. And from your point of view, you work in a lot of areas here with the various groups of faith. What is happening this year? Are Christians engaged in this election?
They're actually very engaged. So the largest single constituency in all of American politics on the political right or the left remains the evangelical vote, generally 26-27% of the entire electorate, not Republican, the entire electorate will be self-identified evangelical. and probably about another 9 or 10% will be Catholic voters this cycle. And that's held pretty accurate for about the last 35 to 40 years. And interestingly enough, these are kind of early returns right now, but strong turnout already among faith-based voters, evangelicals and Catholics particularly. And I think as the contrast, if you will, between the parties and the candidates has become more and more stark, the decision becomes easier and easier, despite the media trying to kind of like drive a wedge between pro-life, pro-family candidates and evangelical voters. The voters still are responding to pro-life, pro-faith, pro-family, and pro-Israel policies and campaigns.
You mentioned Israel. The Democrat Party also seems to have a problem with the Jewish vote this year. They've tried to have it both ways on the whole Israel-Hamas situation. Do you see them as sending a mixed message on that front to Jewish voters of faith?
I'll be honest, I don't even know that it's a mixed message at this point. I mean, frankly, not only are right-leaning Jewish voters, clearly, they have all of the reasons that they need, but even a lot of left-leaning voters who may be kind of like fiscally conservative but more socially liberal or moderate have just been appalled at the activity and rhetoric by the Democrat Party and frankly, just the Biden White House since October 7th of 2023. And despite many, many appeals, both to support Jews here in the United States against anti-Semitism and then also certainly to support the nation of Israel, at best, you would say the Biden-Harris administration has been ambivalent, and frankly, at worst, it's even actually been hostile to Israel and pro-Israel, pro-Jewish activity that so many people have been calling for.
We have been talking with Timothy Head, and Tim is executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Tim, tell us a bit about the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Also, where can folks go to learn more about your organization?
Find us and follow us at ffcoalition.com is our website. We exist just to, simply put, to give Christians a voice in government. So we're lobbying state legislatures in Washington, D.C. on pro-life, pro-family, pro-faith messaging and policies. And then we're informing and then mobilizing evangelical and Catholic voters across the country.
Timothy Head of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Tim, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. God bless.